For the longest time, when I was growing up, my bedtime was 7:30. I'd have to go upstairs and go to bed at 7:30. Of course, Dad or sometimes Mom would read to us for a half hour till 8 o'clock. And then the lights would go out, and Dad would sing until 8:30. So our real go-to-sleep time was 8:30. And that was okay in the winter months. It was dark, you know, by the time we went to sleep. But in the summer, it was still light outside. And sometimes I could hear my friends. They could go outside after dinner. Their bedtime was much later than mine, and they were still playing up the street. And one night in the summer, I decided that I wanted to go play too. So I got out of bed in my pajamas and opened up the second story window and climbed out onto the roof of the breezeway that ran from the house to the garage. And I walked across the roof and went to the drain pipe that was near the corner of the garage, and I shinnied down, and I started to go off to play. But by then, the noise of my friends playing had stopped. I guess they'd gone inside, get ready to go to bed. I didn't know what to do. So I walked to the neighbor's house. They didn't have any kids, but I'd often go visit them. Walked up there, my bare feet up the street, and knocked on their door. And they opened the door, and I said, "Can I have a candy bar?" And they looked at me, and they said, "Do your parents know you're here?" And I said, "No, but can I have a candy bar anyway?" And they said, "Well, why don't we go talk to your parents about whether you can have a candy bar?" And they walked me back down the street. It wasn't the brightest move I'd ever done, because I went right back to bed. I used to like candy a lot when I was a kid. And as a result, one of my favorite holidays was Halloween. Of course, not just because of the candy, but because I got to dress up as Zorro. Zorro was one of my favorite TV shows. And every afternoon, I would come home from school, and there would be three TV shows back to back. There was The Lone Ranger, Robin Hood, and Zorro. It's where I got my political education when I was a kid, from those three shows, you know. And Zorro was my favorite. Zorro was like Robin Hood, only he lived in Mexico. And he robbed from the rich, gave to the poor, helped people who were in trouble, couldn't help themselves. I liked that a lot. He wore a black hat, a black mask, he had a big black cape, he rode on a big horse, and he carved the mark of Zorro with his sword. And doors, people's clothes. Every Halloween, I was Zorro. I had a black hat. Of course, it wasn't exactly like his. His was flat on the top. Mine was more like a cowboy hat. My grandparents had given it to me and had white squiggles on it, but it was close enough. I had a cape. Later on in junior high school, I found it in a box, and it was about 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet, so you can tell how old I was when I started being Zorro. And it was navy blue on one side and had green and white checks on the other. Not exactly the sort of cape Zorro would wear, but I had a good imagination, and I'd clip it around my neck with a clothespin. That was my cape. I had a black mask like Zorro, and that was the only thing we bought at the store. And I had a wooden sword. A friend of mine, she said she was Zorro growing up, and she had a wooden sword too, and she would tie a piece of chalk on the end of it and go around the neighborhood making the mark of Zorro with that chalk on stop signs, on kids' backs, neighbors' houses. Luckily for my friends and neighbors, I hadn't thought of putting a piece of chalk on the end of my sword, but I did have a pillowcase to collect candy in, because we lived in a big neighborhood. And those little paper bags with the handles on them that had witches or pumpkins or black cats, they weren't strong enough for all the candy that I got in the neighborhood. So I had a pillowcase. And one year, I was all dressed up. I had on my hat, I had on the mask, I had on the cape, had my sword, my pillowcase. I was all ready to go out the door, and my parents had been standing at the door whispering. And I should have known that meant trouble. Sometimes parents start whispering, it means trouble for little kids. But I didn't think anything about it. I was too excited about Halloween. I started to go out the door, and my mother, she stopped me. She turned me around. She said, "Davis, it's raining. You're going to have to wear a raincoat this year." And I looked at her, and I said, "No." She said, "Yeah, you really do have to wear a raincoat. It's a cold rain. You could get sick. I don't want you getting sick. Look, you can still be Zorro. Keep the Zorro costume on underneath. Just wear a raincoat over it." And I looked at her, and I said, "No. I'd seen Zorro on TV. He never wore a raincoat. He was dressed just like I was, you know, jumping onto balconies in the rain. He didn't need a raincoat. I had one of those yellow raincoats that buckle up the front with big gold buckles and a yellow rain hat that tied underneath my chin. Zorro wouldn't be caught dead in one of those things. And I knew it. And I said, no. And they said, yes. And I said, no. And they said, yes. And I said, no. They said, yes. And I went, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes. And you know how it goes. Have you ever noticed that adults get sicker of this quicker than kids do? I was ready to go on for a long time, and my father, he got sick of it pretty quick. He said, look, let's stop this yes-no stuff. Come on over here. Sit down on the couch. I want to tell you a story. And I went over, and I sat down on the couch the way you do when people who are bigger than you are telling you you have to sit down, sort of on the edge of it so I could get up in a hurry when it was all over. And Dad, he looked at me, and he said, you know your grandfather Bates, who lives up in New Harbor, Maine? And I said, yeah. What's that got to do with Zorro? Zorro lives in Mexico. He says, will you just forget about Zorro for a minute? I want to tell you this story that your grandfather told me. It happened about 60 years ago. There was a lobsterman up in New Harbor, Maine. He made his living going out on the ocean catching lobsters. He made his traps himself out of little pieces of wood, nailed together, had little nets coming up from either end to a ring in the middle. And he'd bait those traps with fish. And he'd go out on the water, and they push the traps off the boat, and there were stones in them to weight them, and they'd go down to the bottom, right down to the bottom of the ocean. And he had lines coming up from the traps to buoys that floated on the top of the ocean, painted with his colors, white and blue, one half white. And that's how he knew where his traps were. And lobsters, they'd smell that dead fish, they'd come up, climb up the nets, go through the rings, fall down into the traps, and then they'd be there when he'd come along and haul up the traps. That's how he made his living. Well, one day he was out lobstering. It was a very foggy day. There was a very low tide. And things can happen in the fog. You can get turned around. You can think you know where you are, and you're actually someplace else. And that had happened to him. He was right near this big rock that was just under the surface of the water. He thought he was a couple hundred yards away from it. And he just finished baiting a trap, and he pushed the trap over the side. And then my father said that he went to gun the motor to go pick up another buoy, and his boat ran right over that rock. A big hole opened up in the side. Water started pouring in. That boat sank like a stone, and that lobsterman, like a lot of lobstermen, couldn't swim. So he was lost at sea. Well, do you know, said my father, your grandfather told me this too. He said that 30 years later, there was a young lobsterman out in that same water. He was 17 years old. He'd just taken over his grandfather's string of traps. He'd been going out with his grandfather since he was about 6 years old and helping him. And his grandfather had retired, given the boy his boat. And now he was out for the first time alone. And it was another foggy day, another low tide. And the same thing had happened to him. He'd gotten turned around. He thought he was one place, he was actually another. He was right near that same rock. And he just finished baiting a trap. He went to push it over the side. And then he went to gun the motor to go look for another buoy, when out of the mist came an older-looking lobster boat. And the man behind the wheel of that boat shouted, hey, turn over to starboard, there's a rock there. And he turned the wheel, and he saw that rock barely missing his boat by inches. And he looked up, and he saw that older boat going off into the mist, and he could just make out the name on the stern of the boat. It said, the Mary B. And then it was gone. Well, my father said this young man, he finished hauling his traps, and then he went into New Harbor to sell his lobsters, and he thought he'd look around for the owner of the Mary B. to thank him for saving him from that rock. And he knew there was no boat by that name in New Harbor. But he looked up north in Round Pond and down south in Damariscotta. Couldn't find a boat by that name. It wasn't long after that he was sitting around with some of the older men in New Harbor and talking to them. He told them what had happened. And one of the old men said, you know, there used to be a boat named the Mary B. out of New Harbor. But she sank 30 years ago. The lobsterman that owned her, he was drowned. And my father, he looked at me and he said, and you know, it was the ghost of that lobsterman that saved the other lobsterman from drowning. And this year, for Halloween, why don't you be the ghost of that lobsterman? And I thought for a minute. Didn't seem like such a bad idea. So I said, okay. And he said, you know, lobstermen wear yellow raincoats. I said, yeah, I had seen them. I had up in Maine, you know, they had these big yellow slickers with black buckles up the front, pretty close to what I had. So I took off my Zorro cape, I put on my yellow slicker, I buckled it up the front, and he said, you know, they wear yellow rain hats, too. And I said, yeah, I know. And I took off my Zorro hat, I put on my yellow rain hat, I tied it under my chin. And my father said that because he was a ghost, he wore a black mask, just like Zorro. So I got to keep the black mask on. And that year, I was the ghost lobsterman, the only year I wasn't Zorro. And I would go up to doors, and I would ring the doorbell or knock, and people would open the door. I'd say, trick or treat. They'd look at me, and they'd go, who are you? And I'd tell them. I'd tell them the story my father told me, and they'd say, hey, pretty good story. Here, have an extra piece of candy, or two, or three. So when I came home, I was dragging a soaking wet pillowcase behind me. But it was full of candy. And that candy lasted all the way from that Halloween until the next. And the stories lasted even longer than that. Because I'm still telling it.